Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend, Colonel Tom McKinney. And we're going to be talking about his book, 33 Degrees of Deception. It's the story basically of masonry. It's actually a compilation of two books. One was the story of a gentleman who was a 33rd degree Mason. And the other is simply everything you need to know about Masonic rites and Masonic beliefs. And in these two books, which are combined into a very readable context, you will know everything you need to know about masonry and the dark spiritual forces behind it. You'll know more about masonry than I would say that probably 95-98% of Masons do. Colonel McKinney, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, and I could not agree more, Dr. Stan. And one of the most important things, I think significant things, for people to know is the truth of what you just said. Those who read this book will know vastly more about Freemasonry than, as you said, between 95 and 98% of all Masons. 98 is probably closer than 95 to the truth, because most Masons believe what they're told. Most Masons never go beyond the third degree, the Master Mason's degree. And they are told that it's based on the Bible. It isn't. They're told that if they're Christians, it will make them better Christians. It doesn't. It has the opposite effect. And they're told these lies by good men, for the most part, who believe those lies because they were told to them by a previous generation of good men who were likewise deceived by still a more distant generation of good men who don't question. They don't read their own stuff. Every Blue Lodge, that is the local lodge, has a librarian with a library. And in that library are some or most of the books that I refer to in this book, 33 Degrees of Deception. But the significant problem for them is they don't read their stuff. You can get almost anything in terms of Masonic literature from the Grand Lodge of Iowa. They have perhaps the best Masonic library in the world, and they're very generous in lending the books to you. They'll mail them to you and trust you to mail them back. The information is there for every Mason who ever raised his hand and took the horrible first oath. Everything they might need to know is available to them, but they don't read it. They simply want to get the initiation, get it over with, and get on with the fellowship and whatever.
Well, but the problem is, certainly one of the most informative books is Morals and Dogma, written by Albert Pike. But, of course, you can read the book, and you can read the book, and I had read it through several times. And you can't understand what he's talking about.
It's almost unreadable.
Unless you understand the secret. And once you understand the secret, it's just like opening a door. And then when you read it, it all makes sense. And once you understand that it is the antithesis, it's exactly the mirror image of Christianity, and that when they're talking about Lucifer, they're talking about Christ. When they're talking about Christ, they're talking about Lucifer. And until you understand the true God of Masonry as Lucifer, none of this makes any sense. We'll be back in a moment with Colonel Tom McKinney.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Dr. Stan, the Sunday guy, Colonel Tom McKinney, was just saying that at one time he was doing an interview on a New Age radio station. Somebody called in, announced they were from Madeline Mary O'Hara, Madeline Mary O'Hara's organization, and they wanted Tom McKinney to come and speak at their national conference. And they approached him on several occasions, asked him to come to their conference, and Tom asked, well, why would you want me to come to your Madeline O'Hara's conference? And they said, well, because you bring out the fact that Masonry is Luciferian. That means it's a religion. That means, of course, we can oppose it, and we should be opposing it. Well, you know, Colonel, it's hard to make a decision. But every year I go to something called the Conspiracy Conference. Now, it's a very interesting mixture of Christians and pagans and occultists and Satanists. But I go simply because I get a chance to talk to a lot of people who are into the New Age and the occult and the paganism. And I would hope that through the years we've done this for probably 10 years, that we've touched the lives of some of the people. I do know that a lot of good Christians actually attend these conferences, are looking for truth, and certainly I get a chance to get up on the stage, and we'll certainly have a couple of speakers, conferences, and profess my Christian faith, and sometimes I'm the only true Christian up there. This time we'll have several Christians. Brian Sussman, who has a radio program in San Francisco, will be there, and he's a Christian. And there'll be probably, maybe out of the 10, 12 speakers, there'll be three or four Christians. But I mean, it's a decision I made a long time ago that I think it's, well, I've never regretted going. It's fascinating to just meet people coming from a different perspective, and I hope that some of them really have changed their outlook, and perhaps maybe not even anything I said, but maybe it'll lead them to change their outlook because of something somebody else said. Anyway, I just got to put a plug in for it's the 2nd and 3rd of June. It's going to be at the Marriott Hotel in Santa Clara. And if you need more information, look on the internet or give us a call, and we'll tell you about it. But it's going to be a fascinating lineup this year. And there are hardcore Marxists and hardcore liberals, and there'll be a few Christians. In fact, there's really more Christians now than there were 10 years ago. So, but let's get back, of course, to the book, 33 Degrees of Deception. So why don't you sort of give our listeners the background of the book, how it was that you came to write it, of course, who the 33rd degree Mason was, or who confided in you what this was all about, and of course, what happened to them because he told the truth. He violated the secrecy oath. Go ahead.
Yes, my father was a Mason. He was a York Rite Mason, the so-called Christian side of Masonry, and a Shriner. But he never went to meetings. Never. Never once in my life with him did he ever mention Freemasonry to me. And I think, as I have said before, perhaps in the South, especially in his generation and generations before, it was so deeply embedded in the culture that it was sort of a thing you just wouldn't not do. Like if you were the fifth generation of your family to go to the same university, you would not think of going to a different one. And I think a lot of men, young men, and went through the motions, so to speak, and got their degrees and got their cards punched and left it behind. That certainly seems to be what my father did, and he certainly would not have even done that had he known what I know and what Dr. Stan knows and what a growing multitude of Christians know now about the true nature of Freemasonry. And then back in the 70s, I had been disabled in Vietnam and retired for disability, and we had bought a farm in Kentucky and come here from California, and we had met a young man who was a drug user and extremely interested in the occult, and we were trying to help him to find the Lord and be free, and he was a tough case to minister to, and one night he came over. And he had a little blue book in his hand, a small blue book. And he says, "Man, I've got a book here." He said, "It's a secret book, and I'm not supposed to have it." He said, "I found it in my grandfather's attic. But I've been reading it," and he said, "There's a lot of heavy stuff in here." And he said, and he wanted me to read the thing. And I did not want to read the little blue book, but I didn't want to discourage him. I wanted to please him, so I promised that I would at least read the introduction. Now, the little blue book was the Kentucky Monitor, and that is the handbook for the first 3 degrees of Freemasonry, what is called, usually referred to as the Blue Lodge or the Blue Degrees. And that's as far as most Masons go. Every Grand Lodge, which for all practical purposes is a state, there's a Grand Lodge of New York, a Grand Lodge of California, a Grand Lodge of Missouri, etc. This was the handbook for the Grand Lodge of Kentucky, and they're all essentially the same. And it is the book that every Mason who becomes a Master Mason is given. They don't read them, it seems to me, but they have one. In other words, it's not an esoteric book like Morals and Dogma that only a few Masons have ever even tried to read or are aware of. This is a book that everybody has, and everybody knows what it is. And I read the introduction, and it changed my life. Sometimes I wonder if for good or ill, but it literally changed my life, because It said, I read there that it, the author, who was a distinguished Masonic scholar, had written that every civilization has had its myth of a Messiah. Myth, I think there is a significant word. And it said the Chinese called him Keunsei, the Persians called him Sosiash, the Egyptians called him Krishna, the Christians called him Jesus, and the Masons' Messiah is Hiram. And I said, hold everything, time out. If the Masons' Messiah is not Jesus, but is some guy named Hiram, I want to know who this Hiram is. And that plunged me into literally a lifetime of study of Freemasonry and teaching on the subject and writing on the subject. And it is true, their Messiah is a mythical character called named Hiram Abiff. He's a combination of a true character, the Hiram the Artificer, that was sent by the king of Tyre to Solomon to help to do the bronze work and the brass work in the temple, and but with a lot of fiction mixed in. He is sort of a messianic figure. In fact, he's very much a messianic figure, and if you dig a little deeply, you find that he is their representation of the Christ. And of course, their God turns out to be Lucifer. And that's how I came to be a student of Freemasonry. And I couldn't tell you how many angry Masons have called me on talk shows and yelled at me and told me I couldn't possibly know anything about Masonry because I've never been a Mason. And what they don't realize is that the best kept Masonic secret is that there are no Masonic secrets. As a result of the murder of Captain William Morgan about 1833 or 34, there was such a scandal and such an adverse reaction all over the country that about 96% of Masonic lodges closed their doors. Not only that, all these influential members of the lodge who were judges and magistrates and sheriffs and whatnot deliberately went to court in order to read into the public record all of the secrets, all of the initiations, all the passwords and grips and all of that. So literally there have been no Masonic secrets since about 1835 or 36. But most Masons, 99.999% of them, don't know that. And they will fight you for it. I mean, they get very angry. I've had my life threatened by them more times than I can count. And at least twice, they were seriously planning to blow up the television station where I was for having trash like me on the air.
And, of course, basically the Jewish people are waiting for their Messiah. The Muslims are waiting for the return of the Mahdi. The Buddhists are waiting for the return of Maitreya. And basically all of the religions, of course, are looking for this coming world ruler. They are all different manifestations, in my opinion, of Lucifer. And, of course, there are really only two religions, Christianity and all of the others. Because all of the others are really bound together by this common desire and looking forward to this coming world government in one way or another. And of course, the difficulty is everything is designed today to take us away from Christianity. Why did they take God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools in the 1960s? Well, of course, this has been an incremental, a fundamental part of American society from its inception. Why? Very simply because the Masons gained control of the United States Supreme Court, and they controlled the United States Supreme Court, majorities of 5-4 to 8-1 from 1941 to 1971. Why won't anybody tell you that? Well, ladies and gentlemen, in America, we have freedom of the press. Which means when you own the press, you have the freedom to suppress whatever you want. We're going to be back in a moment with Colonel Tom McKinney. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Through his research as a veterinarian, Dr. Joel Wallach discovered that most health problems afflicting livestock can be prevented and even reversed. Many of these same health challenges also occur in humans. These too can be prevented and reversed. Doc's original formula, called the Pig Arthritis Formula, alleviated all arthritis symptoms in animals. The same basic formula has been developed for humans, called the Pig Pack, which includes plant-derived minerals, a multiple vitamin complex, glucogel, and EFAs. Add to that Longevity's OsteoFX Plus, a proprietary blend of liquid calcium, magnesium, and glucosamine. Now you have the Pig Pack Plus to make up the 90 essential nutrients Dr. Wallach has identified as necessary for sustained good health and longevity.
For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. SeedCatalog.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We were just chatting about Dan Brown's books, and I suggest that if you are a confirmed Christian, they're well worthwhile reading. Because you need to understand the power that these people have in America today. There's a section in the last book, Lost Scroll, about the Institute of Noetic Science. This is a very real organization. It exists today. It functions in Northern California. They have a great deal of funding. They have a great deal of influence within the pagan societies. They get into the supernatural and how you can tap into the supernatural. And then, of course, it tells you the secret of Masonry And because when the hero learns the secret why, it just transforms his life. Up to that point, he's been an atheist. Now he begins thinking about things of a spiritual nature, but it's the wrong spirits that he's into, because there is a spiritual battle going on today between good and evil. And now he has embraced, the hero of Dan Brown's book has embraced, the Luciferian precept that we, or each of us, can become a god. But go right ahead, Kurt.
You know, Dr. Stan, you know when you have arrived, when your letterhead simply says Dan Brown.
Right.
And I have a facsimile copy of a letter he wrote to the Sovereign Grand Commander of the southern jurisdiction of Scottish Rite Masonry, which is just, in a practical sense, the mecca and the headquarters of it all. And the last paragraph, he says, "Please accept my humble thanks for the noble example you have set for mankind. It is my sincere hope that the Masonic community recognizes the lost symbol for what it truly is, an earnest attempt to reverentially explore the history and beauty of Masonic philosophy. Yours sincerely, Dan Brown." No doubt about it. You know, Dr. Stan, it is true that even though Freemasonry is, in one sense, it's a dying institution because they can no longer attract young men into the local lodge. It just doesn't. I hate to use a cliche as bad as this one, but it just doesn't resonate with the young men today. However, that doesn't change the fact that they have enormous wealth and enormous power at the high levels, and they still exert, I'm sure, a great deal more influence than even you and I are aware of.
And certainly I'm sure that they're within the military, they're within many police forces across America, and you want to get ahead in many government agencies. Why, you better be a Mason, otherwise, if there's a choice between two candidates, the Mason will get it, because it is a secret brotherhood. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY.
There are still places in the South where you can't be elected dog catcher if you're not a Mason.
Sure. Well, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question, a comment for our guest, Colonel Tom McKinney, let's talk a little bit more about your book, 33rd Degree Deception. I think it's so vitally important. Go right ahead.
You know, Dr. Stan, I think it was 1988 when I wrote The Deadly Deception. I had been traveling as a Bible teacher, and on one trip I was traveling through Florida, teaching here and there, and I met a woman, a Christian woman, who said, "There's a man you really should meet in Ocala." And she said, "His name is the Reverend Jim Shaw, and he was a 33rd degree Mason, and he's a really good man and does a lot of good work, and I think you should meet him." So I drove to Ocala and met him, and it turned out to be a very significant meeting. Because I listened to his story and read some of the things he had written, and ended up writing the story of his life, really. It's a biographical book, but it's also a thematic book, because it teaches in recording his experiences, it teaches the truth about Freemasonry. And the book was published by Huntington House and became a bestseller. And it became an extremely controversial book, of course, because it made all the Masons very angry. And I hear the music. Are we approaching a break?
Well, we are, because Jim Shaw was a 33rd degree Mason. And was quite willing to actually challenge Masonry publicly, and because you're not supposed to do that. You've sworn all these oaths to their God that you will never reveal what you've learned, but certainly because this has nothing to do with the God of the Bible. It's the very antithesis to that, and you'll only find that out if you read their books and read what they say. We'll be right back.
you believe that you've seen the handwriting on the wall? More regulation, more taxation, and more Big Brother to come? All these things mean less of what we cherish, including liberty and freedom. Maybe you're looking to discover a place to relocate. After seriously considering several other countries, we've fallen in love with Chile. Don't get me wrong, it's not Shangri-La and it isn't a utopian society. Anywhere you go, there are trade-offs. Moving out of your own country and relocating thousands of miles away isn't for everyone. But if it seems interesting to you, call Jeanette at 413-835-7961. It's the United States phone number, but it rings in Chile. 413-835-7961 or go to the website at SouthernChileProperties.com. That's SouthernChileProperties.com. Do you have a chronic disease that has devastated your life? If you do, you should contact the Envita Clinics. Their therapies can reduce the devastating side effects of chronic fatigue, heart disease, Lyme disease, fibromyalgia, and other persistent illnesses. Their experienced team is committed to setting a new standard in patient care. They're dedicated to bringing you the best of what's available in cutting-edge medical science. If I've stirred your interest, consider calling Invita at 866-830-4576. Or better yet, investigate their website at Invita.com. That's Envita.com. Or 866-830-4576. Invita at 866-830-4576. Invita.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid that is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I certainly have a question or comment. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we had Mark calling from Ohio talking about this, Sydney, how, you know, he knows this one Mason who doesn't seem to be concerned if they're, well, about moral issues, and asked Colonel McKinney if this was part and parcel of the of Masonry, not, in other words, not adhering to strong moral principles. And Colonel McKinney said absolutely that he was telling the story of Jim Shaw, of course, who is the background of the book that Colonel McKinney had written, the first book he had written about Masonry. A young man, Sidney, raised without a father, had to put out of the home when he was 13 years of age, always wanted to have connection to something, wanted a father figure. And when he joined the lodge, he suddenly found now he was part of a family that he'd never had before. Colonel, pick the story up.
And the other thing he had always longed for and didn't have was religion. He thought he had found religious fulfillment at last and a family that he had never had. And he was really happy and contented with the social life in the lodge. And he loved learning about the information in the degrees as he advanced. And he was disappointed, really, that the other Masons weren't as zealous to learn as he was. And that's why he went up so fast within the Masonic system. But then he began to notice he asked a lot of questions, and nobody could answer them. And he noticed that he was initiating people into the lodge, and they were swearing to keep the Ten Commandments and that sort of thing, when he knew their personal lives, and he knew that they were very wicked people. And he had more and more questions, and he asked more and more questions without getting answers. And finally, he developed cataracts in his eyes, and the ophthalmological surgeon who operated on his eyes was a devout Christian who kept witnessing to him, and at first it made him mad. He said, I'll have you know, I know I've already forgotten more about religion than you will ever know. And this doctor was not at all dismayed. He said, we're not talking about religion here. We're talking about relationship, etc. And he wound up leading Jim to the Lord. And that really made him then begin to see differently with the spiritual eyes what was wrong. And he was more and more troubled about it. And finally, at the time of being accepted for the 33rd degree, he made the break. And I might add, I'm sorry, I've forgotten your name in Ohio. Mark.
It's Mark.
Mark, I have a hard time with names. I'll remember everything about you without trying except the name. There are two kinds of 33rd degree Masons. The vast majority are what are called honorary 33rd degree Masons. And that's almost certainly what your landlord is.
And Ronald Reagan was one of those too, wasn't he?
He was an honorary Mason, period. He wasn't even a real Mason. They came over to the White House and said, we'd like to make you an honorary Mason, and he was such a nice guy. You know, he didn't want to turn them down, so, actually he was no Mason at all.
I see.
But the technical term for all 33rd degree Masons, with the exception of 33 of them, is honorary. The 33 who are not honorary are members of the Supreme Council of the 33rd degree. These are the guys at the House of the Temple who sit on thrones and choose other people to be 33rd degree Masons. But only those 33 are really in on the secret nature and the secret work.
Is that the degree where you acknowledge Lucifer as God?
Yes.
Okay.
Mark, we're going to have to let you go because we've got other callers. But I would say what is little known is that there are degrees above the 33rd degree, which most Masons have no idea. In fact, there's so much in Masonry that the average Mason has no grasp of at all.
There
is. This is why we need to have Christians witnessing to Masons and trying to bring them into a realization that certainly they are in a false religion and certainly they are doomed to eternal damnation unless they have a personal relationship with our Lord. Hey, thanks so much for calling, Mark.
Sure.
And let's go to Ron, who's calling from Washington. But before we go to Ron, Colonel, I want you to get your website out. A telephone number or however people get in touch with you and your ministry.
My website is Words Plural for Living, MIN, all run together, Words for Living, MIN .org. And if all else fails, just Google Tom McKinney and you'll find it.
Okay, fine.
Well, back to what Stan was saying a moment ago about the levels above. There are very murky levels above the honorary 33rd degree. In fact, I'm convinced that there are levels above the Supreme Council of the 33rd degree that only selected ones of those are ever allowed into. And it is definitely satanic. In fact, one of the most revered Masonic philosophers, Manly Palmer Hall, internationally prominent occultist, he wrote these words that I'm paraphrasing, but it's almost a quotation. The Blue Lodge Mason, if he only knew it, the Master Mason holds in his hand the seething energies of Lucifer. In other words, he has available to him the power of Lucifer, if he only knew it.
And the curse of that comes from the Lost Keys of Freemasonry, which is available from Radio Liberty, not our regular catalog. You have to ask for the special catalog, but we have a number of the writings of Manly B. Hall.
And he died a few years ago, right. and he was lauded in the highest degree of honor and praise by officialdom in Freemasonry.
Amen to that. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And most people would find it very difficult to believe that rational men would worship Lucifer. But there is power there. There really is. And of course, if you enter this into this realm, you too can hold the seething energies of Lucifer in your hands and have supernatural power. Let's go to Ron calling from Washington. Hi, Ron. A question or comment?
Yeah, just a comment. When I was in high school, I remember reading a U.S. history book about this organization called the Anti-Masonic Party.
Uh-huh.
And, in fact, the way they picked the presidential candidates was, I guess, the model for the way both major parties do today, with state delegates and such.
It was a valid political party, and it all flowed from the murder of Captain Morgan.
That's what I thought. Of course, the high school textbook said nothing about Masonry. It says that their last candidate was a leading Mason. But I had no idea it never described what the Masons were in this textbook.
I'm not surprised really that it was in your textbook. How long ago was that?
Oh, this is over 50 years ago.
50 years ago, yeah. They were much more honest in those days, much less revisionist history in those days.
But even then, it didn't give you a lot of information.
That was the election, I believe, of 1828, because that's when John Quincy Adams won in a three-way race. That's how he happened to win, was because there was a third party, and the anti-Mason party did quite well.
And John Quincy Adams, incidentally, was a vehement anti-Mason.
Right. Okay, fine. Well, thank you very much for calling, Ron. Anything else you wanted to say?
No, sir.
God bless. Good day,
everyone. Thank you, Ron. Thanks for the call.
Let's go to Heinrich calling from New England. Heinrich, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. This is something different. Greetings, Mr. McKinney.
Thank you.
Here's another question. How does, I'm sure you might have heard of a gentleman named Spencer Lewis, who ran the Rosicrucian Order. He does not run the Rosicrucian Order now. It's not in California now. It's in France now. How does the Rosicrucians play with all of this? I mean, do you know much about them at all?
I don't. When we lived in Southern California, the Rosicrucian headquarters was there somewhere, I think in Orange County.
Okay.
It is a secret order. It's one of these mental science cults, very similar in some ways, but I know very little about it. I can recommend someone who knows a lot about it because he was one, and he is now an anti-Mason scholar.
All right, what is his name? His
name is Larry Kunk, K-U-N-K. And his ministry and website, you can find him, it's Ephesians 4:11, I think, is what he calls the ministry and the website.
Wait, write this down.
Larry Kunk, K-U-N-K. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's like Kunk. I think it's German, too.
Ephesians 4:11 is what he calls his ministry, and that's probably the web address.
But Larry, I can tell you a little bit about it, Heinrich. As you know, we have a Rosicrucian temple over in San Jose. But basically, you can actually trace these various pagan religions back thousands of years, and certainly, shortly after Christianity was formed, 2,000 years ago, there were the Gnostics. The Gnostic and Gnosticism was a major anti-Christian religion. And then, of course, along comes the Templars. And the Templars, 1118, they were simply following the same basic philosophy. And then, of course, comes the Rosicrucians in the 1400s. And then out of the Rosicrucians came Masonry. Out of Masonry came the Illuminati. These are all common denominator. They're all anti-Christian. They're all this idea of bringing about this world government and tapping into the supernatural power. Okay?
Yeah, but so did Christ. If you go check a website called mysticalblend.com, there's a woman there named Evelyn Paglini, and she was on Odd Bell. And as far as occult and magic, and I know this for a fact, power is neutral, occult power is neutral. It's the practitioner that determines whether it's black or white. And that's why
Heinrich, you and I will disagree on that.
In your Bible, that guy, Jesus, he certainly practiced magic.
Well, basically, there is supernatural power. You can tap into it, but of course, you do not want to be tapping into that. Anyway, God bless. Thanks very much for calling, and right now, go right ahead, Colonel.
Check with Larry Kunk. Fishers, F-I-S-H-E-R-S, Indiana is where he is, and you can just Google, I imagine, Larry Kunk, Fishers, Indiana, or Ephesians 4:11, and you'll find him.
Okay, we'll go right ahead. And maybe we'll have Heinrich on some evening, and we're in, of course, because he is coming from a point of view which is not pro-Christian, and he's a very interesting person, very well-educated, but I don't want to get wound up with a conversation with you and certainly Heinrich over Christianity, but we'll have to do that some other time.
I had a woman in my Bible class who got offended and left and never came back because I said there are only two sources of supernatural power. One is the power of the Holy Spirit. The other source is the power of Satan. And it really hurt her feelings and made her mad because she believed in this stuff that is also common in the South, especially in the Appalachians. That people are born with, quote, the gift. And now these are church-going Christian people, but they have this supernatural power to remove warts, stop nosebleeds, that sort of thing. And it comes down through generations, and it's passed from one to another with whispered secrets in the ear, and I'm serious about this. It really goes on, and they're often the very best, most honorable people in town, and devoted members of their Baptist or Pentecostal or Methodist church. But it's wrong. They don't realize that it's wrong. But there cannot be more than two sources of supernatural power. And if it isn't the Holy Spirit, if it doesn't glorify Jesus, then it is the wrong source.
Well, I've actually talked to people who had the gift, you know, and it was wonderful. You know, they could do all of these things, and they would know it was going to happen. They'd have the premonitions. I don't know if you ever met Joanna Michelson, but Joanna Michelson was a medium, and I guess one of her aunts had the gift, and she had inherited it, and she was actually being trained as a faith healer. And she saw hundreds of these miraculous healings, and she thought they were from God.
But didn't she consider herself also to be a solid Christian?
Well, eventually she renounced the whole thing. She went back and she actually interviewed all of these people and she'd kept in touch with them, and they were all demonically possessed. And so she wrote a wonderful book we carry. It's called The Beautiful Side of Evil.
The Beautiful Side of Evil. That's a great title.
And we actually have a 4-tape set, 2 hours of interviews with Joanna Michelson, and it's just called The Supernatural. And we recommend it to you out of the listening audience, The Supernatural and her book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, because there really is a force you can tap into, and do not do it, ladies and gentlemen. Do not do it, just exactly as you have to counsel the Masons, that they're playing with eternal damnation, and most of them have no knowledge. And so this is why Colonel McKinney's book is so vitally important. Let's briefly touch on the second part of the book.
Yes. The second part of the book, part two, literally, is questions and answers. It's written in question and answer format. It's thematic and it's organized topically. And it is I don't mind saying this, it's an extremely useful source book, the kind you can pick up and lay down when you have a question about the founding fathers and Freemasonry or Freemasonry and other religions. You can just simply go back there and see what it has to say. And here are the questions with the answers, and the answers are utterly authenticated. I counted them up since the last broadcast with you, Dr. Stan. There are 402 source citations in this book.
It's a wonderful, wonderful book. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Whether you want more energy to keep up with everyday life or simply the great feeling that comes from better health, you won't get there without serious, proven nutritional support. I'd like to suggest that you try Propax NT. Propax contains a powerful group of nutrients called the NT factor, specifically designed and clinically validated to enhance cellular energy. Clinical trials have demonstrated that Propax improved participants' energy levels. They felt better, too. Why don't you go to the website for complete information? It's simply propax.com. That's propax.com. Or you can call 800-982-9158. Propax.com or 800-982-9158. Find out about Propax today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we suggest you go to your website and simply Google in Colonel Tom McKinney, McKenney, and you'll get to his website. And a wonderful individual, a retired Marine Lieutenant Colonel, and proud to call him a personal friend. Well, this is the time when we certainly want to mention we do carry his book, 33 Degrees of Deception. We carry a 4-tape set on Masonry, I said, if you read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you'll find I've taken much of what I've written there about the Masonry from Colonel McKinney's books. We actually carry morals and dogmas. It is for many years it was a secret Masonic book. Now I will have to tell you that the page references in the one we get from us are not those in the original red book. But other than that, why it's identical, all the information is there. So we do carry morals and dogma. We have the writings of this gentleman who is actually the father of modern day Freemasonry, and they are available if you ask for the special research catalog. We carry the books, the ancient or lessons in ancient philosophy, the lost keys of Freemasonry. And certainly the books that this gentleman has written, vitally, vitally important. We hope that you'll give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And simply just ask for the Lost Keys of Freemasonry. It is one of the most important books as far as understanding the Luciferian foundation of this entire movement, because he's very outspoken, as he says, you know, when the Mason on the block certainly has found the secret of his craft, he now has living power of Lucifer in his hands. He has the living power of Lucifer in his hands. So you can get all these things by calling 1-800-544-8927. Certainly, we believe that the book, The Beautiful Side of Evil by Joanna Mikkelsen, is vitally important. And certainly, of course, we do hope, of course, if you're in a position to join Radio Liberty, become part of the Radio Liberty family of supporters, we'd love to have you as a member. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You can go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. The information is certainly all readily available. And if you go to our, get one of our catalogs, you can look up all of the various references for all of the things that we talk about. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. And I'm trying to get the name once again of that gentleman who wrote so many of these things about the Luciferian background, but my name has escaped me. You can call me off the air. I'll be getting it for you. Just give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. His name is Manly P. Hall. Manly P. Hall wrote The Lost Keys of Freemasonry. He wrote the Lectures on Ancient Philosophy and a number of other books that we do carry here. Find out that this is real. There are really only two religions in the world. One is Christianity, and the others are all the rest of them, all aimed at destroying the Christian faith. And they're doing a good job. They certainly have changed the music and the message of the Christian church today. Well, we'll be back here in just a moment with William Grigg.
Voices in a song. man beside her.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of William Grigg, who, of course, at one time was the senior editor of the New American Magazine. Now he's the managing editor of the Republic Magazine. He is a prolific writer. He certainly writes the monthly Radio Liberty newsletter, simply as I'm getting to the point where I can't get to everything any longer, and William's taken a lot of the burden off of me personally, and I'm very appreciative of that. Well, we like to have him on Friday evening to bring us abreast of some of the things that are going on in our society. So without further ado, William Grigg, good to have you with us tonight. What are we going to talk about?
Dr. Stan, it's always a privilege and a blessing to be with you. I really appreciate the opportunity, and in framing the discussion this evening, I think it's worthwhile to start with the story everybody's talking about, and that, of course, would be the enduring scandal in Sanford, Florida, involving what's going to be the trial of George Zimmerman, assuming, of course, there is a trial. And then the story everybody should be talking about the same subject, which is the outrageous imprisonment of an innocent gun owner by the name of John McNeil in Cobb County, Georgia, which isn't that far from Florida, in a case that has some remarkable similarities to the, the Zimmerman-Trayvon Martin episode, but some interesting role reversals as well. The first thing that I think needs to be said, this is something you probably covered already, and at least some of your listeners have probably discussed as well, is the cynical game being played by the special prosecutor in Seminole County, Florida. She's not the Seminole County, Florida prosecutor. She's been appointed as special prosecutor here, in charging George Zimmerman with second-degree murder and then publishing an affidavit of probable cause that, to my admittedly untutored eyes and the eyes of people who've got better legal education than I, appears to be very thin to support that charge. I've not concealed my views of this issue. I think that what we have here is a case of culpable foolishness that led to the unlawful killing of somebody who did not need to be killed, meaning Trayvon Martin. I think that Zimmerman precipitated the incident, that he exacerbated the incident. Whatever happened in those moments when nobody saw the encounter, Zimmerman's actions precipitated that tragedy. And I think what you've got here is a pretty good case of potential negligent homicide or negligent manslaughter, which is a different affair from second-degree murder. The chief difference would be one of deliberate malicious intent to commit the unlawful killing of Trayvon Martin. I don't think that they can make that charge stick. I suspect that what's going on here is that the prosecutor, as is the case with too many prosecutors, is overcharging the defendant in the hope of extracting a plea bargain and obviating a trial. And I hate that for a number of reasons, in this case in particular, but in general, because the role of a prosecutor in an actual criminal justice system should be to try the facts, and not necessarily to arrange for the state's victory. Unfortunately, too many prosecutors, for reasons of professional vanity, for reasons of ideology, want only to prosecute those cases they know they'll win. That's not how trials are supposed to operate in a free society defined by Anglo-Saxon common law. And in this case, it could have tremendous negative social repercussions.
I agree with you totally. The whole thing has just been, this is being tried in the media. And if you notice, whenever they show a picture of Trevor Martin, it's always or almost always this little boy, you know, a picture was taken 4 years ago. That's the impression they want to implant in your mind. This cute little kid. It doesn't look like it hurt anybody. Well, it was a big strapping and a 17-year-old boy. I mean, so that there's a default on all sides, but we'll be back in just a moment.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Dan and Chris William makes the point that the investigating detective felt that said Zimmerman should have been arrested and held and tried for negligent homicide. He didn't intend to do this, but he was foolish. He made some serious errors, and the boy died. Unfortunately, there are all sorts of political ramifications. Zimmerman's father is some sort of a magistrate judge, and so instead of listening to the detective and arresting Zimmerman, why he is of course to let go, and state officials get involved, and the police chief gets involved, or anyway, a lot of people involved in this case who never should have been involved. Politics enters, and they're going to let Zimmerman off without any condemnation. So the question is he guilty of first-degree murder, second-degree murder, negligent homicide? I think that William's point is well taken. It's one of those unfortunate things, but Zimmerman certainly bears some responsibility. He should have backed away and let this thing go by the wayside, but and let it up to the police, which he refused to do. Go right ahead with him.
And the other thing that I find interesting is that you've got a situation here where the police, in what has to be considered a real dereliction of their responsibilities, didn't even bother to interview the one direct witness to the confrontation. She was an ear witness rather than eyewitness. That would have been the girlfriend with whom Trayvon Martin had been in communication right up to the point where he and Zimmerman came face to face. And Martin, during this entire event, was retreating from Zimmerman. He'd expressed fears of being pursued by this mysterious individual who followed him in a vehicle and then followed him on foot. And Martin's girlfriend was put under oath and gave a sworn deposition as to what she heard, and it does support the idea that, however you characterize what happened after the two of them met, Zimmerman was the pursuer and Martin was the one who was retreating. But the police didn't bother to interview her. As a matter of fact, I don't think they still have. It's almost, what, 2 months after the event? I know that at least 6 months passed between the fatal episode and recent interview with a reporter for ABC on the part of the young lady who overheard this encounter. And the police, at that point, about 6 weeks after the killing, had still not interviewed her. That, once again, is a real serious delinquency on the part of the police, but that suggests to me that this was dismissed with undue haste. The reason why I want to emphasize this is because it is my belief that if Zimmerman had been charged with negligent homicide and then given bail and a trial date had been set, and if this is another really serious misstep, I think an act of culpable cruelty on the part of the police, if they had contacted his parents in timely fashion rather than waiting until days afterward and then telling him a story that simply doesn't comport with what we know of what happened on that evening, if they'd behaved responsibly on that front as well as permitting the charges to be filed, we wouldn't be dealing with a controversy here. This is the sort of thing that would have been looked upon as a tragedy and a horrible, horrible thing that happened to this young man and his family, and a real mess, of course, for Zimmerman and his family as well, but it wouldn't have become a cause célèbre. It was the fact that it was not handled with dispatch and responsibly by the investigating officials and the prosecutor that created the fertile ground in which these meddlesome seeds of racial conflict were sown, and they're being very diligently fertilized with the type of stuff that is used to fertilize plants of that kind. We have manure spreaders like Sharpton and Jackson et al. In the area doing their level best, of course, to bring about a bumper crop of racial resentment. And you also have the federally funded or federally controlled provocateurs, the so-called National Socialist Movement, who are purportedly patrolling downtown Sanford. I don't think they're within a couple hundred miles of Florida, but they have been active in Florida within recent memory, the last 10, 15 years or so. The National Socialist Movement is a group that has no useful existence apart from what it does by way of choreographed, high-profile, stage-managed, outrageous incidents of the sort that they'd be involved in Sanford. They really are as consummately inconsequential as the so-called New Black Panther Party, which, as far as I can tell, consists of about three or four people who are captured on video from time to time to provide fodder for various people who are racially obsessed on one side or the other of this issue. But if they'd acted responsibly on that night and the days that followed, we wouldn't be dealing with this type of a situation in which this opportunistic infection could fester. And now we've got the prosecutor doing something that I believe is entirely irresponsible, but typical of that profession today. Once again, the role of a prosecutor in the Anglo-Saxon common law framework is to try the facts, to provide a setting, an adversarial situation, in which the facts are set forth before a jury consisting of the peers of the accused, and you have to have compelling evidence beyond a reasonable doubt in order to confirm the charge against the accused. But of course, according to the biblical standard, if you're dealing particularly with a murder, you have to have the testimony of at least two witnesses as to the overt act here. And there's a very high threshold of proof for any accusation of criminal homicide, particularly when you're talking about murder, whether first or second degree. And that threshold, I think, is well above what is available now, unless there is some huge and flagrant smoking gun that has yet to be disclosed here that the prosecution has at its disposal. He has overcharged Zimmerman, and one of two things would be the likely outcome here, the first of which would be a plea bargain. I don't think Zimmerman's going to take a plea. I think he's going to go through the entire process of a trial, and I think that's what the prosecutor's trying to avoid. That would be the first alternative. Zimmerman would take a plea and then dispose of it that way. The second, and I think likelier outcome, is acquittal. I think that they're going to put this evidence before a jury. I think the jury, acting under the pressure exerted by racial ambulance chasers on the one side and the countervailing pressure brought to bear on behalf of Zimmerman on the other, are going to look at this evidence and say that the conscientious thing is not to vote to convict somebody on the basis of evidence that just doesn't seem to match the severity of the crime. That would be a responsible thing, assuming, of course, that we're dealing with the facts as we understand them right now.
Well, you know, it's really very interesting that if you look at the picture of Zimmerman published in the Wall Street Journal, he is a very handsome, a very attractive gentleman that you mm-hmm. find it difficult to believe could have done what has been attributed to him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you look at the pictures of Zimmerman published in some of the other publications, he looks as a scruffy individual that you certainly wouldn't want to, have around your home under any circumstances. The same thing, the picture of this little black boy, very, mm-hmm. I mean, just like the sort of kids you want to go over and hug.
Yeah, exactly.
And so they use the pictures, and you can tell that this whole thing is being orchestrated by looking at the pictures. You
yeah.
see those pictures of this cute little kid, and occasionally they will show the hooded picture of a much larger boy, a worthy adversary. But this whole thing is being orchestrated to turn black against white and white against black, and it is to be simply another O.J. Simpson trial to focus our attention there rather than on really important issues. But
mm-hmm.
I think, of course, the family, Martin's family, with good justification, says he should have been arrested, he should be tried, let the facts be brought out. And, of course, you sympathize
yes.
with them, and you understand why they feel that way, because this fellow is going to get off scot-free. Go right ahead.
Well, if they charge him with a crime that doesn't meet the facts, he should go free. And that's the codicil, if you will, to the O.J. Simpson parallel here. There are people of sound mind and sober intellect and moral sobriety who have said that they were not convinced that O.J. Simpson actually committed that crime. And you are on that list, if I'm not mistaken, Dr. Stan.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, you'd have the same kind of a situation here. I've not made any secret of my opinion regarding what happened that evening and how I think that Zimmerman bears the primary responsibility for what happened there, if only because you've got the dead body of an unarmed teenager in a story that doesn't seem to match what we've been able to put together in terms of the injuries to Mr. Zimmerman, the other circumstances of the case. I do think that he did something that would have to be considered a crime. If I were sitting on that jury and presented with the case that was outlined in the affidavit that was released today, I would vote to acquit George Zimmerman. I would have to, because I do not think that what he did, assuming that what is described in that affidavit is what he did, is something that is logically and rationally described as second-degree murder. I do think that negligent homicide, however, is a charge that would fit. Of course, we've gotten so freighted with expectations now, owing to the efforts of the media, and the people have made this a public works project for the racial outrage industry, that if there is an acquittal, you can expect that this is going to be something with huge and resounding consequences that may include riots, and that wouldn't take the predictable form of black people rioting and destroying property. You'd probably have multi-ethnic riots where people would be set off against each other, but people are expert in past masters in arranging conflicts of this kind. I want to say something else about the photographs of Mr. Zimmerman. This is something I find quite interesting. The photographs that come out in the last couple of days make it clear that Mr. Zimmerman, who for reasons that are understood only by the high priests of political correctness, has been described as a white Hispanic, is not white in any sense of the expression. He's got roughly the same complexion I have, and I'm a large brown guy. I've never been accused of being white. I don't know that you could arrange lighting in such a way that I would appear to be white. I do know that there was a cover story in a free tabloid newspaper in Los Angeles
about 20 years ago where they overexposed my picture to make me look white. But that, barring that kind of intervention, I don't see how you could make me meet that description. Mr. Zimmerman is, I believe, half Peruvian, and he looks a little like Cory Booker, who is the black mayor of Trenton, New Jersey, who's been in the news recently. So just a really interesting way that the perceptions of people are being manipulated to advance this race war narrative, and it's a horrible thing to see.
Well, we're dealing with masters of deceit, people, of course, who know how to manipulate the public, and I believe, of course, that this is going to be used as a diversion from really important issues. And yet this is a case everybody's going to be talking about. There can be similar cases, but we won't ever hear about them.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Through his research as a veterinarian, Dr. Joel Wallach discovered that most health problems afflicting livestock can be prevented and even reversed. Many of these same health challenges also occur in humans. These too can be prevented and reversed. Doc's original formula, called the pig arthritis formula, alleviated all arthritis symptoms in animals. The same basic formula has been developed for humans, called the pig pack, which includes plant-derived minerals, a multiple vitamin complex, glucogel, and EFAs. Add to that Youngevity's OsteoFX Plus, a proprietary blend of liquid calcium, magnesium, and glucosamine. Now you have the Pig Pack Plus to make up the 90 essential nutrients Dr. Wallach has identified as necessary for sustained good health and longevity.
For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. SeedCatalog.com.
Well, Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Sir William is giving another example of another case, and it involves a man, I think his name was McNeil. He's serving a lifetime sentence, or at least a long sentence in jail, because, of course, he had been involved with a violent altercation with another gentleman. Was this other man killed?
Yes. What happened is that, first of all, it's necessary to understand the fact that McNeil's neighbors, and I mentioned them before the break, David Sampson and Libby Jones, had taken out various legal measures to prevent contact with Mr. Epps. And David Sampson got so far as to start carrying a gun because he was afraid of this guy. Well, in December of 2005, McNeil got a anxious phone call from his 19-year-old son saying that Epps was on their property and that he had threatened him with a knife. And so McNeil got into his car, grabbed his cell phone, called the police, and said that this man, who was known to be violent, was on their property and that he was going to the home to confront him because the police would not get there in time. Of course, dial 911. Chances are that if the police do show up, they'll show up just in time to string up the crime scene tape and draw the chalk outline. So McNeil got to his home, and by this time, Mr. Epps had gone to a neighbor's property where he was not welcome and was causing trouble there. When McNeil drove up to the entrance to his property, Epps came back onto the property, trespassing again onto his property, and a shouting match ensued that was seen, witnessed by several people in the neighborhood. McNeil reached to his glove compartment and got his legally licensed, legally owned gun, and ordered Epps off his property. Epps started to advance on him, and so McNeil fired a warning shot into the ground in front of him and warned him to back off. And at this time, according to several eyewitnesses, Mr. Epps reached into his pocket and charged McNeil. McNeil shot him in the head and killed him. The police arrived within the next 5 or 10 minutes. They'd been summoned, of course, by John McNeil's phone call. They investigated the matter. They never took McNeil into custody. Within a few days, they determined that McNeil acted in self-defense, and under George's Castle Doctrine Law, which is very similar to the one in Florida, it was understood that he had the right to use lethal force when his life was imperiled by an armed aggressor who posed a credible threat to his physical safety. And, of course, he threatened his son with a knife earlier that day. The knife was found on the body in the possession of Mr. Epp. Unfortunately, a letter-writing campaign began where several anonymous people began to barrage the Cobb County prosecutor, demanding that John McNeil be prosecuted for murder. And among the people who made that request was the widow of Brian Epps. That's not surprising, but there were a number of anonymous people who had made that same demand. So a year later, Cobb County District Attorney Patrick Head indicted McNeil, and McNeil was prosecuted and somehow convicted of murder and sent to prison. He's given a life term in prison, and he is in prison in Georgia right now. The interesting thing about this case, Dr. Stan, this is the twist. This is the Twilight Zone plot complication at the end, is that you have here a case involving unambiguous self-defense and stand your ground applied in the way that it should be applied, where you have somebody who is defending his own home against the unambiguous armed aggression of a trespasser. And the man sent to prison was the man who exercised that right, and he's black. The intruder was white. I simply don't know if we're dealing here with something that is as racially invidious as it appears to be at first glance, or if we're dealing with a politically malleable prosecutor or some other kind of corrupt motivation that doesn't involve racial bigotry on the part of the prosecutor. I don't know what would possess a jury in the state of Georgia, of all the unlikely places, to find a homeowner guilty of murder for defending himself against an armed aggressor who was known to be a violent and unstable individual. This case was appealed to the state Supreme Court, and 6 of the 7 justices upheld the conviction after they stipulated to the facts as presented by the defense. But the 7th judge, Chief Justice Leah Ward Sears, wrote an incendiary dissent pointing out that in order to uphold this verdict, it's necessary essentially to set aside or to render a nullity Georgia's self-defense law, which applied perfectly to this case. Indeed, it appeared to be written with this type of case in mind. But this is, if you will, the photographic negative of what happened in Florida. I really wish that gun rights groups, people who are advocates of armed self-defense, would rally to the cause of John McNeil and make him the poster child for Stand Your Ground, not only because this would be politically useful and an imperative right now, given what's going on in Florida, but because simple justice requires it.
And unfortunately, then the racial element comes into it. The racial element should never be there, but yeah. Unfortunately, it is there. And these people know how to exploit it. They do it again and again and again as they turn American against American. We'll be back in just a moment with William Green.
Do you believe that you've seen the handwriting on the wall? More regulation, more taxation, and more Big Brother to come? All these things mean less of what we cherish, including liberty and freedom. Maybe you're looking to discover a place to relocate. After seriously considering several other countries, we've fallen in love with Chile. Don't get me wrong, it's not Shangri-La and it isn't a utopian society. Anywhere you go, there are trade-offs. Moving out of your own country and relocating thousands of miles away isn't for everyone. But if it seems interesting to you, call Jeanette at 413-835-7961. It's the United States phone number, but it rings in Chile. 413-835-7961 or go to the website at SouthernChilePropertiesCom. That's SouthernChilePropertiesCom. Do you have a chronic disease that has devastated your life? If you do, you should contact the Invita Clinics. Their therapies can reduce the devastating side effects of chronic fatigue, heart disease, Lyme disease, fibromyalgia, and other persistent illnesses. Their experienced team is committed to setting a new standard in patient care. They're dedicated to bringing you the best of what's available in cutting-edge medical science. If I've stirred your interest, consider calling Invita at 866-830-4576. Or better yet, investigate their website at Invita.com. That's Envita.com. Or 866-830-4576. Invita at 866-830-4576. Invita.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid that is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Some national organization would take the defense of Mr. Epp up. He's in prison for life. Actually, of course, the family by McNeil is in prison for life. The Epp family had actually tried to bring a civil suit against McNeil to get for a large sum of money, and a federal jury found that he was not liable for civil charges, but the criminal jury had sent him to prison for life. So one jury finds him innocent, and there are no justification for any monetary remuneration, where another jury finds him guilty. And you just have to ask how this could be and why he can't get another trial. And the only way this is going to come about is with somebody actually taking this as a cause. And if you know other people who could talk on this, William, would be glad to do a series of programs on this. And certainly put what little influence we have. by trying to get this person out of prison. So you contact me off the air, and we'll listen to you. Go ahead, and if you have other people can be interviewed, we'll interview them and try to get people to see the injustice of this, and we should be defending this Mr. McNeil because, of course, it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And where is Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton when you need them? Go right ahead, Bob.
Well, they're doing exactly what they do, which is the opposite of what is useful for the cause of individual liberty and the cause of course, the rule of law upon which individual liberty depends. They're people who are entirely beholden to their paymasters as foundation-funded racial rabble-rousers, and their politics are thoroughly collectivist in the worst and most invidious way. But it would be tremendously useful for you to do as many programs as you could on the subject and to talk to as many people as possible. I'll do what I can to round up some people who'd be interested in talking about this, and I would certainly hope once again that in the state of Georgia and that part of the country, that region of the country, that there would be people who would prepare to the cause of John McNeil, and not, of course, merely because you've got this massively ironic and heartbreaking miscarriage of justice here involving the imprisonment of an innocent black man for killing a criminal in the defense of his home and family. You've got in so many ways sort of the photographic negative, not only what happened in Sanford, Florida, where you have this incident where somebody had foolishly precipitated a situation that resulted in the death of an unarmed young man who, as far as we can tell, had done nothing wrong. But it's in some other ways an interesting echo, albeit once again an inverted echo, of the O.J. Simpson situation, where you had a criminal court acquit him, but a civil court hold him responsible for the death of his wife and the death of the young man who was with his wife, in circumstances, once again, that are sort of through the looking glass type of puzzle palace as to who did what and whether O.J. Simpson was actually guilty of anything. One thing is for certain, there's no sense in which John McNeil is guilty of a crime, but it's just standard procedure, unfortunately, for what passes for justice in this country. And it would be tremendously useful, I think, as a politically potent curative for the effort to overturn the legal protections for the right to armed self-defense. It'd be wonderful to see gun rights groups make politically suitable use of this. You want to defeat stand your ground? Well, here's an individual in jail, in prison, a black man in prison in Georgia, because he stood his ground in defense of his home. What's needed is, of course, that we take stand your ground and castle doctrine laws more seriously, and that we use those to protect the rights of people who are facing criminal aggression, rather than undermine the protection of people in circumstances like this. That's why I say make John McNeil and not George Zimmerman the poster boy, if you will. I hate to use the expression, but the poster child, the pinup for the defense of castle doctrine and stand your ground laws. I think that would be not only politically savvy, but I think morally correct.
Well, I think that we have corruption in our courts because we as a nation have lost sight of the vision of what justice is all about. We're swept along by the media. We're swept along by sophistic arguments. We're swept along certainly by inadequate criminal defenses. Many times our lawyers are corrupt and they will sell out their clients. And I've seen this happen time and time and time again. What a nation it turns its back on God. Should we be surprised when we have a corrupt legal system? Let me point out, ladies and gentlemen, that one in about 102 adult Americans is in prison today under someplace in America. One in about 33 adults is in prison, probation, or parole in America today. One in three young black men between 21 and 31 is in prison, probation, or parole today. We have far more people in prison today than they have in communist China. And there's something wrong with this picture. And what's wrong with it is we have lost sight of right and wrong. Christian justice is something that Well, you may be able to get if you have enough money. And then, of course, if you have enough money, you'll be able to, may be able to escape punishment entirely. But go right ahead.
I keep thinking of the despairing refrain in one of the early chapters of the book of Jeremiah, where God speaking through the prophet says, "Shall not my soul be avenged on a nation such as this?" And this comes as sort of a leitmotif in the midst of this searing indictment of the institutional corruption and personal depravity of the people who occupied Jerusalem, the city named after God's peace. And one of the salient characteristics, one of the most conspicuous symptoms of this fatal corruption and this lethal depravity was the perversion of justice administered by the judges in Jerusalem, how their judgment was perverted in exchange for bribes and other corrupt considerations, how they did not apply the law, they did not pursue equity. They sought to their own interests, they truckled to the favor of the powerful. The corrupt and powerful were given leniency, and those who were perhaps flawed but fundamentally decent but powerless were on the receiving end of stern and pitiless punishment, usually for things that wouldn't constitute crime. And that was the city of Jerusalem in the years immediately leading up to the Babylonian conquest and the exile that left the exilic prophets wondering, Ezekiel among them, if God had forever forever abandoned and rejected Israel. I mean, one of the wonderful things in the book of Ezekiel is the promises of God being renewed to Israel as a demonstration of the grace and patience that he displays toward all of us and that he makes tangible in the person of Jesus Christ. But the book of Ezekiel, in the first 18 chapters in particular, one of the recurring themes is that despite Israel's sin and corruption, God had not permanently rejected them. And, of course, you have that wonderful chapter, my favorite chapter in the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 18, where there is this very powerful teaching about how the sins of the fathers do result in the discomfiture of the children, but the children don't bear the moral onus. They don't bear the moral burden of the sins of the fathers. In other words, your fathers did wrong, and their corruption created these terrible circumstances in which you suffer, but you are not held blameful before God because of what your parents did. You know, the soul that sins shall die. You know, the righteous will be saved. And then there's that wonderful passage where God, speaking through Ezekiel, says, "Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked would die?" You know, God doesn't take pleasure in seeing our suffering. The problem is that he will give us what it is that we choose. And we, in our behavior, in our priorities, in the way that we treat each other, we make obvious to those around us and to ourselves what we really choose. Now, what, irrespective of what we profess with our tongue, what we do with our hands, what we do with our hearts, and how we treat each other, that is the tangible evidence of what it is that we have really chosen. And one of the things that I believe, not everybody who's a Christian believer shares this perspective on questions of this sort, but I honestly believe that God eventually will give us exactly what we choose. He's not going to force us to choose that which is right, but we will live with the consequences of what we choose, whether we're talking about individuals or we're talking about nations. And unfortunately, as a nation, we have chosen to live as if God's law is of no consequence. We are a society drenched in public piety. We're a very religious nation. Well, Jerusalem at the time of Jeremiah's ministry was the most religious city on earth. And one of the burdens of Jeremiah as a prophet was to explain to people that religion isn't going to save them. It's righteousness that God approves of, and righteousness is something that is a reflection of his influence working through people. It's a recognition that although he's given us our free will and our capacity to choose, that true righteousness consists of surrendering ourselves to him on the understanding that he wants what is best for us. It's not a question of giving ourselves into the hands of a dictator.
it's a question of getting ourselves out of the way so that God can share with us what he intends to provide to us, because he's not going to force himself on us. And eventually, if you persist in being idolatrously attached to a kingdom or to a fad or to an ideology or to a religious belief, if you insist on making that your idol, then you're going to put yourself in a position where horrible things will happen to you. And if enough people within a society make those decisions, then horrible things are going to happen to that society. And it's not going to be the sort of thing that you can avoid simply by making a public profession of your righteousness. You know, one of the refrains mocked by Jeremiah was the lying words, the temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord is in our midst. Surely, by virtue of having the temple in Jerusalem, the house of the Lord, which is built to his glory and which is the center of his presence in human affairs, by virtue of that building here, we know that God will never allow anything bad to happen to us. You know, we believe in the exceptionalism of Jerusalem. We're genuinely exceptional. You know, we see a little higher. We stand a little taller. We are the indispensable people. And, of course, God through Jeremiah was saying, get over yourselves. You're not all that. You never have been. You know, it's God's favor that made you great. And God's favor, of course, was conferred upon you because he is good, because he is righteous. Not because you are good, not because you are righteous. And you should divest yourself of your pride in order to understand that. Because if you do so, God's grace will be sufficient to make you acceptable in his sight. And unfortunately, we find ourselves in this country you know, chanting hymns to our own exceptionalism and our own supposed righteousness, even as all of our public institutions are riddled through with the incurable cancer of corruption. And even as we see the apparently incurable depravity of public appetites every conceivable way. And as somebody who believes that there are limits to what God is willing to tolerate in terms of impudent self-absorption, I find myself despairing quite frequently, particularly when I see stories of the sort that I just described out of Georgia. And I write stories of that kind usually every day, a couple of times a week in any case, in which it's become clear to me that the setting sin of our time is that peculiar type of idolatry in which we believe that because we choose to do it, it must be a good thing. We are good people, ergo, whatever we do, whatever public policy we endorse, whatever wars we undertake, whatever acts of public profligacy, whatever invasions on the rights of other people, these are good things because we are good people. And it's because we are good that what we choose to do is good, rather than understanding that what we choose to do is what defines us.
Well, I think people should realize there never was a good war and there never was a bad peace.
Amen.
And before we go on, William, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, how they can learn more about Republic Magazine, how they can get your writings, your blog, your PayPal button, and go right ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. RepublicMagazine.com is the homepage for Republic Magazine, RepublicMagazine.com. We usually have fresh story or two every day in the news section of the website, and there are also videos that we link to and have brief commentaries about at republicmagazine.com. In the upper right-hand quadrant of the homepage of Republic Magazine, there is an opt-in where people can enter their name and their contact information and get a digital subscription to our weekly newsletter and some other wonderful perquisites that can come if you just sign up. We'll send you a bunch of stuff. republicmagazine.com. My blog, Pro Libertate, can be found just by Googling Pro Libertate or Googling William Grigger, some combination of those terms. You plug those terms into a search engine, you'll probably find in the first couple of returns my blog, Pro Libertate, or you can go to the website directly, which is freedominourtime.blogspot.com. freedominourtime.blogspot.com. And at the bottom of every essay, there is a PayPal button that people can use to make donations if they have the means, if they're interested in doing so, and I really deeply appreciate all the help that we've received and continue to receive from your listeners, Dr. Stan. It's a case of casting my bread upon the waters in terms of what I do and the way I do it. And thus far, God be praised, people have been able to provide us with
at least an adequate supply of income to keep our family afloat and to keep this a going concern. I do really appreciate that once again. And that's freedominourtime.blogspot.com. Pro Libertate, the blog, and at the bottom of the page, the PayPal button can be found.
And I'm always amazed how God works things out. You know, we have a rather expensive ministry to keep going. We don't get a salary. Fortunately, we don't need a salary because I practiced medicine for many years. But of course, we have to pay out somewhere between $500,000 and $600,000 a year
wow.
for certainly our staff. We have three or four people on staff with us, and then of course we have to buy expensive time on radio stations, shortwave, internet, satellite, and all this tremendous, tremendous expenses. We never plan, you know, what's going to happen. We just ask God to provide the funds for us. I just got my income tax, and we found out this last year with an income of somewhere between $500,000 and $600,000. We were $2,000 ahead. Now, last year, I think we were behind $2,000. This year, we're ahead $2,000. And this could not happen by accident. I mean, God never gives us too much, you know. Sometimes people are very generous, but then we get behind again. But I see this for the 15 years we've been doing this. And year after year after year, God provides just the right amount of money. Never excessive and never too short. So, I mean, God does work in the affairs of men. And let me recommend, I believe William Grieg is a very, very effective ministry. And we do hope that you're in a position you will support it.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Whether you want more energy to keep up with everyday life or simply the great feeling that comes from better health, you won't get there without serious, proven nutritional support. I'd like to suggest that you try Propax NT. Propax contains a powerful group of nutrients called the NT factor, specifically designed and clinically validated to enhance cellular energy. Clinical trials have demonstrated that Propax improved participants' energy levels. They felt better, too. Why don't you go to the website for complete information? It's simply propax.com. That's propax.com. Or you can call 800-982-9158. Propax.com or 800-982-9158. Find out about Propax today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly we appreciate so much your being with us, listening to our programs, and your support for William and for Radio Liberty. And, of course, this is the time I need to remind our listeners, as I said earlier, that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. We do have a few advertisers, but, of course, we do need your help and support to be able to maintain what we have, but we have a voice, and we'll maintain that voice as long as God gives us the breath and the ability to remember the names of people like Manly B. Hall and others who we sort of forgot what his name was earlier in the first program, but God provided it there before the program was over. Manly B. Hall, the leading Masonic philosopher of the last century, who, when he died, was cited by Shrine magazine as the leading Masonic philosopher of all time. Anyway, this is the time when I want to remind our listeners, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. You need to hear our talks on the dark secret and the forbidden secret, and the syllabuses go with that. You need to hear our recently released DVD, or maybe about a month ago, my interview with Norman Dodd, who headed the only congressional committee ever allowed to investigate the Great Tax Exempt Foundations. And of course, the DVD is called Dangerous Deception, and of course you'll hear my treatise there of exactly what's going on in the world today, so that you can understand what Mr. Dodd had really uncovered. When I talked to him in 1980 and interviewed him with a film crew, what this is all about, and they try to, of course, relay that to you. Well, of course, we have new DVDs with Betty Martini on aspartame, a new DVD with Rosalind Peterson on geoengineering, a new DVD with Michael Shaw on Agenda 21. We have a new 4-CD set on Occupy Wall Street. All sorts of information, and whether you want to learn about chemtrails, whether you want to learn about how they're poisoning the water, whether you want to learn about, and of course that DVD and syllabus are called The Hidden Agenda. Rather good, even if I do say so. I think it's as good as anything available out there. And we have 4-tape sets on all of these subjects. We even have a 4-tape set on O.J. Simpson with the information you will never hear elsewhere. How do we understand the fact that even though, of course, it's illegal for people going down to Cuba, at least it has been for many years, David Rockefeller's daughters go down on a regular basis to visit Fidel, and Fidel comes up to visit David Rockefeller? Well, that, of course, is my talk on the world revolution. The world revolution, and, of course, the there's a book that goes with that. It's called Memoirs, written by David Rockefeller. But it contained in this DVD is my interview with Ambassador Earl D. Smith, the American ambassador to Cuba at the time of the Cuban Revolution. I said the Earl Smith was the only billionaire I've ever interviewed. He was very, very gracious, and but the DVD is a world revolution. You'll get an entirely different picture, not only of Fidel Castro and who he really is, but, of course, of so much of what goes on today, because, of course, we create these enemies. We have to have an enemy as a diversion. Certainly, communism was a diversion. It was created and financed by people in the West. Nazism was a diversion. If you don't believe that, you need to get three DVDs. Three books we have by John Loftus. Three books by John Loftus. You need to get my interview with Professor Sutton on the best enemies money could buy, or get the book by Professor Sutton, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. You have to have enemies. And we financed the Nazis all during the Second World War, while they were killing our boys. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Please, please pray for Radio Liberty. Let us all be grateful.